The Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, this might seem a little bit odd. It might even seem a little hypocritical. This is the night where our piety is worn not in gold or silver, but in palm ash smeared on our forehead in the shape of a cross. Now, I remember how weird it seemed as a child that my Catholic friends would come to school on Ash Wednesday with crosses on their forehead, and this Lutheran boy, I didn't get my ashes till the evening, and I never quite understood what that was all about. But later I realized that they went to Mass first thing in the morning, and we had church at night. But it always seemed strange to me to see them at school with the ashes on their forehead, showing where they had been already that day. Now, as an adult, sometimes I leave worship and I forget that I have a cross on my forehead, and people often look and wonder what the smudge is all about. If you go into the grocery store after you leave here tonight, people might look at you like you're funny. People don't always understand what this night means. This whole section of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew is about keeping your piety just between you and God. We are warned not to be like the hypocrites who want everyone to know what good they are up to. Yes, this ashen cross on our foreheads may be a sign of our piety, but it sends a very different message as well. This cross is not made for adornment. This cross is a bold admission on our part. Wearing this cross is an admission of our mortality. Wearing this cross is a reminder that we are not God, that we are not eternal, but that we are finite. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. This condition that we face cannot be changed by anything that we do. Our lives, our days, our very breath are not our own, but are given to us by God. I think what's most striking to me about this day is that we all face the very same reality. as the congregation comes forward and a cross is drawn on their forehead, each person is reminded of the same simple truth. And it doesn't matter if you're a newborn or if you are in your 90s, but we all have been given the same fate. Each one of us will die just as each one of us has lived. So the weight of this day is real. I think as a pastor, one of those moments where I feel the weight of this day the most is drawing the cross of ash on a baby's forehead, because it seems so out of step with how we think about our place in the world. But this day isn't only about our mortality, it's also marked by God's faithfulness. It was clear in the psalm when we heard those familiar verses, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me in a willing spirit." With a cross of ash on our forehead, with a sign of our mortality, we will come to the table. We will receive Christ's body and blood. We will receive the forgiveness, healing, and wholeness that is given whenever we eat of this bread and drink of the cup. We are reminded that we are surrounded by the communion of saints, and that someday we too will take our place at the feast which has no end. This Lenten season as a whole can be a time for us to be disciplined in our own lives. We are called to turn away from evil and from whatever leads us away from love of God and love of neighbor. Lent is also a time where we reflect on the storied waters of baptism. What does it mean for us to live as children of God each and every day? What does it mean for us to act with justice, mercy, and compassion to those in the world around us? How do we live in the kingdom of God? There are many traditions that go along with this season of Lent. Some people give things up. I think this is a good practice for you if there are things in your life that consume your time and money, but do not give life or have become like a god for you. For others, it may be important to add something to your life. You might want to take the challenge that's been around for a few years now. Of course, it's been around for longer than that, but at least they've been lifting it up for the last few years. The challenge of walking 80 miles during the 40 days of Lent, the symbolic mileage of Jesus' walk from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Others may want to read more scripture or pray more or begin a discipline of daily devotions. And it might just be some of you who have been reading the Bible daily with others in the congregation. Taking something away or adding something is not essential during this Lenten season, but it may be helpful for you. It may bring the season of Lent into clearer focus for you. But no matter what you do, remember the wisdom in Matthew's words about the public display of piety. Whatever you may choose to do or not to do during Lent is truly between you and God. Otherwise, we have the possibility of ending up like the hypocrites who like to blow their own horn. Or we may even cause someone else to stumble in their own faith. Things that we do are done to the glory of God and not for our own glory. The focus remains on how we live in response to what God has already done for us. So today is the day that we begin the season of Lent. We face that truth that we are dust, that we are mortal. But I'm also reminded of a hymn that I remember singing as a child. And the first verse goes like this, and if you know it, join right in. I didn't say that at Solvang, but they all joined in with me anyway, so I'm just going to tell you. If you know the words, join in. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter.
matter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
What that song reminds me of is that God has formed the dust of the earth into God's own people. So as God's people, we can enter into this season to grow closer to our Creator. We can enter into this season to draw closer to the one who gives us life. We can enter into this season to be filled with the breath and life of God. We are dust, yes. We belong to God. So I want to end this evening with a poem. And this is a poem that I wrote. Some of you have seen it on Facebook. I posted it this morning. But I haven't written a poem since probably I was in high school, or maybe in college that some professor made me write a poem. But I don't remember that. But I wrote this poem last night. It kind of came to me quickly. I've been reading a book. I've been reading a book that's powerful. I can say that every time I get to the next chapter, I think, oh, I'm finally going to get to a point in this book I'm not going to cry. And then I start reading the chapter and I start crying. And so last night, as I kind of stopped reading because I couldn't see anymore because my eyes were getting tired, I wrote this poem. It's called What Ashes Cannot Hold. Ashes cannot hold life. They cannot hold love. Ashes cannot even hold death. Ashes can be scattered. They can blow free in the wind. But ashes cannot hold themselves together. Ashes can be filled with remnants. They can hold bits of what was. But ashes cannot find their old form. Ashes show us mortality, life replaced by dust. But ashes cannot blot out our identity. Ashes cannot stop Jesus, new life in the midst of death. But ashes can hold the promise of being marked and remembered. Amen.